Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio? The Doug Gottlieb Show is coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save big on your farmer on your auto insurance. It's really the best thing you can do with your phone in just a few minutes. Just call Farmers, 888-FARMERS, to start saving today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Big Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger. Looks like he's going to come back. I'll get to that in a moment. Quick update on Tiger Woods' condition. You may have heard from Dan Beyer. You'll hear from Dan Beyer with an update half past the hour and the press towards the end of the hour that Tiger Woods is in stable condition. Remember, he had a rod put in his leg. He had his ankle smashed, compound fracture. Now, Beyer, is it all in the right leg or are both legs?
It's everything was in the right leg, according to the statement that was released last night. So the ankle, the foot, the tibia and fibula, all of that was in the right leg.
Man. Yikes. Now, do we remember what leg he tore the ACL in and had the Achilles tendon surgery in?
Left was where he had the broken leg and where his, had the torn ACL. That was because some don't think it is, but, you put a lot of weight on that left knee when you swing. But
I mean, a ton of torque on both your golf is this weird sport to where because there have been guys that are not in great shape, you're like, wow, you can do it. And because you can play it when you're 80, like the Haven champs, that's a peach, hun, right? Like, because you can play it until you're 80, people make the assumption that, well, you can go back and play professional golf. Like, no. Like, these dudes are so good. And the power and torque generated from your legs. And remember, we're not even talking about his back that's had five surgeries on it, right?
Yeah. And there is also reports, and I think it was mentioned in some books as well, that when Tiger went and did his Navy SEALs training,
yes,
that he injured his knee doing that as well.
Yes.
So
he's a different fella. Like, he's a different fella. And, I mean, look, I just be honest, I think this is a very human, it's terrible. And I'm happy he's alive. I'm sad for him from this standpoint. Like, and I don't know if he was a jerk. Apparently he nearly hit somebody in the parking lot and he was in a hurry and he was mad. I can tell you, like Terranea up front, you have your car brought up and there's somebody blocking you in and you're in a hurry. Like, I may have not said that I actually understand. And I understand you're late. I'm always late. And he was supposed to get to another golf course for a TV, for a shoot. I do wonder, and I know it's his own courtesy car and it's a nice one. Why was he driving? Right?
Yeah.
Nothing like getting up and you're running late and you go like, you just hop in with the driver and then you can be on your phone, not paying attention to anything. Send a text, I'm running late. Now, wasn't there something where he may have been distracted, which is one of the, right? There's no reckless charge as of now. There's nothing in terms of impairment. But I did read something where he could have some sort of distraction.
I did not read that, but I don't rule it out by any case of, maybe there was something, but the high rate of speed and maybe he was distracted by his phone. Who knows? We don't know that information.
Yeah. No, it's a, so here's the thing, Dan, when I say if this closes the book on his career,
mm-hmm.
How would you paint his career?
He played golf at the highest level that anybody has ever seen. He played the sport the best that it's ever been played by anyone. I always sided with Jack as the better player overall prior to Tiger's win at 2019 because I thought that Jack's longevity and winning at 46 showed something, But now Tiger winning at 43 has shown something as well. The entire generation that Tiger has inspired. I think he goes down as the, obviously biggest figure that golf has ever had.
Yeah, and I'll talk about this later in the hour, but it's just an interesting kind of bookend of the career, starting with his dad and then ending with him and his son. Like, the last time we saw him play was with Charlie, right? Like, that part to it is, it's like the circle of life type thing, you know? You almost thought he was like Simba, or he's Mufasa and holding up Simba at the end. That's a Lion King reference, Byer. I'm not sure. You know, you don't have
to. I figured it out. I did.
Okay. Didn't know if you got that one. But there's a circle of life kind of element to it, which is really interesting and really unique and in many ways really special. The part that's interesting is how much of the personal life is part of the golf. I think it's very much part of the golf story, because it was all part of this massive upheaval in his life, and you combine it with the injuries and it kind of all seemed to snowball at once, and that was all part of the comeback as well.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating tale, and I just think that, like so many others, you're still ending up mostly on the positive, and he is going to have hopefully another 50 years on this planet. I just think the idea that he plays professional golf again is so highly unlikely. And then that's not even factoring in the back, which had been giving him troubles, and then the knees, which have given him troubles, and the glutes, which have given him troubles. And then you're like, yeah, I think so. I'll tell you what I think of Tiger Woods, the compilation of that career upcoming. Let me get to Big Ben right now. So Big Ben wants to come back to the Steelers. Last week, Kevin Colbert, their general manager, is like, maybe if we work some stuff out, but we want to take a look at everybody and look at the whole thing, and it's about the franchise. So Big Ben met with Mr. Rooney, and Rooney released a statement like, hey, Ben wants to play for us. We want him to play for us. All that's good. Now we got to figure out the contract. Ben Roethlisberger's agent, the Tolner brothers, they came out and like, look, he wants to play, but he's set to make $19 million. We're going to have to figure that out. And like, look, this is the problem with the way these contracts are written. If you keep pushing back that dead cap money, eventually you leave yourself in a position where, you're going to have to, you can't talk him into retiring if he doesn't want to retire, and you can't cut him. So now you got to find a way to cut his salary and say, look, we'll still start you, but we're going to have to cut salary. And the question is not, will he take a salary cut? The question is always, how much? What can you do, expecting to put some money, some guaranteed money on the other end, which will move that cap number, and hopefully the cap goes up next year. But right now it is pro. That is a massive number, and they cannot cut him because it completely ruins their football team, which is in bad shape with the cap anyway. So I'm really interested, really, really interested in how they make this thing work, where you have Philly, and who else? And the Rams taking on the two biggest cap hits for guys not playing on their team in the history of the sport. This is too big of a cap hit, but how Pittsburgh adjust, and can they be competitive? My gut would say I don't think they can win a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger, but I would also tell you that I'm interested to see what Matt Canada does. I'm interested to see if they draft a quarterback, and I'm interested to see what they do with, Bud Dupree, for example, who was a pending free agent before injury. Can they get any of those guys to sign back on the cheap? All right, coming up next, there was a coaching change in the NBA on Sunday night. Monday, they had a full-time head coach, long-term contract. Happened really fast. Some people in the NBA not happy about it. Should they be? We'll discuss upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle, an absolute bundle on auto insurance. Yeah, we touched a little bit on this Warriors, Timberwolves story. We'll get to that with Michael Lee in just a moment. Beyer, I know you and you are a huge college hoops fan. Did you see Michigan State got a big win last night?
Yes, they did against Illinois. It was maybe a little not slippery at the end. They still kind of kept the Illini at arm's length, but yeah, they really needed that bad.
Yeah, no, and now they're in the discussion for the NCAA tournament, right? Not in yet, but you know, they could easily trend that way.
Yeah, Duke one night, Michigan State the next.
And it does kind of give you that. People start to roll their eyes like, look, they may not have as good a team as they've had, but they still recruited pretty well. And those coaches are not idiots. They, at some point in time, they figure out the jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. And I would also say one other thing. For as much as people may not be counting road victories because of no opposing crowd, I'm not sure there's much home court advantage. So beating a number five team in the country like you did with Illinois maybe carries a little bit more weight, even though it was at home.
It's a great point. It's an outstanding point. Michael Lee's going to join us, and the Timberwolves thing has got people fired up. So too does some of the NBA All-Star snubs. I think the hard thing about college basketball is it is so the fans very much play a factor in it. Maybe it's in the framing of it on camera. Maybe it's in when you're actually playing in it, because you still have really good games and really good competition. You know, you got Arkansas, Alabama tonight. That'll be a fun game to check out. The games upcoming this weekend are big time. I have one tomorrow. I got UNLV Fresno tonight. Tomorrow I have Boise versus San Diego State tomorrow night. That should be a really fun game at Viejas, but no fans. Ohio State, Michigan State is tomorrow night. So like the beat keeps going on for Michigan State. These are more opportunities, whether they're opportunities they squander or opportunities they take advantage of, we'll see. But in back-to-back games, they've beaten Indiana and Illinois, two tournament teams. You beat Ohio State, and then maybe Maryland, and then you get Indiana again before you got two with Michigan to end the season, and you're at least getting into that conversation. And look, their record doesn't look great. They're 12-9, but they only played a handful of non-conference games, including Duke, who they beat. I know Duke's far different, but at some point that head-to-head does in fact matter.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
All right, let's welcome in Michael Lee. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Before we get to the Timberwolves thing and the All-Star Stubbs thing, where were you when you heard about Tiger's crash?
I was home. I don't know if it registered the way it may have with others. I feel bad for him and for his family, but I don't know if I was moved the way other people may have been.
I don't necessarily moved, but you can. However you felt was however you felt. Are you not a Tiger fan? Is it the off the course stuff? Was it other car issues?
I haven't been a Tiger fan probably for about 15 years. So I was like, oh, that's sad, but I think I moved on with my day.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that that there are like there's a group of people like you don't have to feel bad for like there are things about him that.
I watched the documentary and felt pretty bad for just the life that he had to leave and just being a prodigy that had to deal with the intense pressure. But I haven't rooted for him to win in a long time. So, I mean, I felt bad for him just on a human level, but it didn't move me to the point. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I would probably agree with you. I like him as a golfer. I don't know him as a dude or whatever. And, you know, we're not friends. I wasn't married to him. But I just thought, I was like, he's okay? Great. I don't think he ever plays golf again. And it's an interesting and unique story, a way to kind of close the book. And I actually think that speaks more to, like, I don't think LeBron transcends the way that Jordan transcends. It's hard because the errors are different. And I don't think he's the alpha's alpha the way that Jordan was.
Me either.
But it would be impossible for people not to point out, like, we really have to search long and hard for things that he has done wrong in any way. And off the court, like, there's nothing, right?
He's
and
been to a model,
be
yeah.
right to be 15, 16, 17 and in the public eye, and now he's in his late 30s, and he got nothing. And it's not like people aren't looking.
Phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and he's put his people on. I mean, they're thriving. They're having successful careers. I mean, he's making it open the way for other future stars coming behind him. I mean, it's admirable what he's done with his career and with his life. His kids seem to love him and respond to him in a way that seems genuine. You know, he's definitely involved in their lives, and he's a typical basketball dad. You know, he's there for his kids. He's rooting for them and emotional and excited. He's an admirable person. Beyond anything he does on the basketball court.
When you look
at what he's done with the election and opening up voting opportunities, he understands his place in the world and that he's been granted a lot of opportunities most people don't, and he's not wasting them.
It's really, really interesting. How they use him at this point in the season and up until they get Anthony Davis back, right? Like, I get they're not practicing, so it's not and coming out of the game and coming back into the game sometimes when you're older is actually harder. But man, you got to have prime LeBron at the end of the playoffs, and he's playing a ton of minutes.
Yeah, he's playing a ton of minutes, but he's playing different minutes, and he's not. I mean, he's going hard, but he's not to the point where he's wearing himself out. And I think he's smart enough to know how much energy he needs to exert to get through this point of the season. I mean, you see the Lakers slumping right now, and they're not playing great basketball. But he knows that he's got to be there, you know, when it comes playoff time, and he'll be there. Usually, when you look at LeBron teams, it's typically that stretch right around time, around an all-star break, where team hits a leg. People start wondering, like, what's going on? What's happening? And then he hits that gear right around the postseason, right around the end of the regular season, and then he's just an unstoppable force. And everyone just has to sort of get out of the way. And the one thing about the injuries they have now is that the Lakers don't have anybody in the West they need to fear. You know, there might be some teams that will be difficult. There might even be a team that can beat them, but I don't think there's anybody they can look down at, you know, Utah, Clippers, Suns, whoever you want to name, and say, oh, man, how are we going to beat them? All they got to do is make sure that Anthony Davis is right by the time the season comes around and that LeBron is there. As long as he's there, they should be okay.
What's your take on the Minnesota Timberwolves? And it's more than just the fact that they didn't really interview anybody, but you fire Ryan Saunders on a Sunday and then like Monday you turn around and you hire a guy, Chris Finch, with a long-term contract. I know that Rosas had worked with him before, so it was a done deal, but what is your thoughts on the hiring process?
It was tacky. I mean, I said on Twitter that, you know, it's shadier than standing under a tree because they fired Ryan Saunders the night he coached a game and then pretty much hired a new coach within 7 minutes of that announcement. And I think that, you know, you're basically undermining your coach that entire time. Like, if you have no confidence in him that he's going to be your coach, I say just go ahead and fire him. Like, just go ahead and move on and then negotiate the contract after he's gone. But you don't do it while he's still under contract and still working for you and putting in his time to try to win games. And I think that's where the Timberwolves fail, you know, in this regard, because you have to respect the people who are investing their time, their energy, their lives into trying to win and put forth a good product for you. And they barely lost the game. Like, what happens if they win that night? He gets fired after a win against the Knicks. I mean, it just looked tacky. And I know that they obviously David Vanderpool got looked over. He's a guy that's been assistant for a long time, worked for the Trailblazers for a long time, had a, you know, little cup of coffee in the NBA, had a storied career in Europe, over in Russia. And so he's paid his dues, and obviously he would be the guy next in line, you would think. But if you already have a deal in line with your buddy, just come out and just say, I wanted to hire my friend. Just come out and say, you know, I wanted to work with this guy, you know, because I feel like I know what he's about. He knows what I'm about. And this is how we want to build this program going forward. Don't do a song and dance and just, you know, bring everybody along, have them bust their butts to try to perform for you, and then just cut the cord without even giving them any warning. I just thought that it was just a tacky way to go about doing it. And everything that's been said afterward has been disingenuous. Just come out and say what you did. I want to hire my friend. I want to hire a guy who I trust and that I want to work with. and just let it be known that that's what you're going to do, and then everybody else will move on. But when you dance around it and try to, you know, sugarcoat it and say, oh, well, this is what we want, you know, no, just be direct and be straightforward, which you haven't been from the beginning. If you do it just now, we'll accept it and move on. But, you know, there's a lot to be upset about. But my primary, you know, frustration was just how they treated Ryan Saunders, because he's somebody, he's not just like their coach. I mean,
he's a guy that,
he's family. I mean, and for Glenn Taylor to treat family in this way, you can see why Kevin Garnett continues to hold a grudge against the organization, why his number isn't flying in the rafters based off of what he gave that organization and what he expected in return. You just got to treat people right. And that's how I feel about anything. And I'm not saying you don't need to fire Ryan Saunders. The team wasn't performing well. You know, even though they didn't have Karl-Anthony Towns for a good part of the season or D'Angelo Russell, they probably weren't going to go very far with Ryan Saunders. Okay, fine. But treat him with respect. He's working hard. He's not somebody who was trying to half-tail it and didn't care. He's somebody who's passionate about what he wants to do. And you gotta, you know, that kind of stuff carries weight, you know, going forward. People will look at your organization and be like, look how they treated the greatest player to ever play in that franchise. Look how they treated him. And he doesn't want to be a part of the organization anymore. And look at this guy whose dad
KG's deal?
Well, I think he was hoping that there would be a path towards ownership, that Glenn Taylor would, you know, eventually allow him to move into that position where he could own the squad. And he feels like he backed out on a deal, especially on, and then when Flip passed, things sort of fractured between his relationship between him and the organization. But mainly it was just he came back to the franchise, signed off on this deal to go back to play for Minnesota, because he was hoping to eventually, you know, move up and have some power within that organization. And once he was done with them as a player, that was pretty much the end of his ties with the franchise, and that's kind of sad.
Yeah, no, it's sad, but I also, it's always interesting, you know, like, we focus so much on ourselves. It's like, I don't know, I understand that he had to go to Boston in order to win, right? I get it. We all were a part of it. Like, we remember that Glenn Taylor, he had the Joe Smith, right, note in the dresser, in the top drawer, which cost them 3 first-round draft picks, you know, and then, of course, you know, there was the one great team that they had in Spree, you know, had to feed his family and, you know, wanted more money in his contract. There's like all kinds of things that went on in Minnesota, which are really interesting as a part of that franchise. But it's like, look, part of it was KG, you left, dude, right? That's like the guy who transfers out and then comes back to the alumni party. Like, yeah, you're still kind of an alum, but not really, right? And then KG, his financial guy ran off with a bunch of money. So I don't know how much of that was how much in terms of tangible assets he had other than, hey, I'm Kevin Garnett, right? There are other issues to it. And so it's a little bit, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about Ryan Saunders, and especially as he's being family. And I don't know Glenn Taylor. I know plenty of people don't have a lot of the nice things, and he's hired some complete dopes to run that franchise. But I do think that sometimes guys take it very personal when it is very much business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that definitely was the case here. And I'm not saying that Glenn Taylor was wrong in how that whole thing went down. I just know how Kevin Garnett feels. And that's all that matters in this regard. You know, however he feels is just what's going to lead to that relationship. I mean, and he is your greatest player, you know, in franchise history, and his number's not hanging in the rafters. And that's problematic.
That's weird.
I think even though he's, you know, Boston, you know, recognizes him for the championship that he won there, I still associate him with the Timberwolves in the 12 years that he gave that organization. And a good 8 of them they kind of squandered and wasted by never getting the right supporting cast. I mean, think about it. You have a player that's as brilliant as Kevin Garnett, who, you know, pretty much didn't have any flaws, you know.
He's great.
He got rebounds, scored, assists, everything, every night, and you couldn't find anybody who could play with him.
Well, I mean, they had Marbury, but Marbury just couldn't. He wasn't a winning player. You know, they had the one year
he didn't buy into being second fiddle.
But remember, Marbury was an all-star level player who Kevin Garnett and Kevin Garnett thought he could bring him under his wing. And because we were all the same, like high school class, whatever, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
They had the Sprewell year did work, but they couldn't keep it together kind of long enough, right? And the Joe Smith contract cost them first round. But so there were some other. Let's not make this into
Malik
Timberwolves
Sealy
talk.
Had an accident too.
Yes, terrible. I forgot about Malik Sealy. That was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
And he was like the big brother to Kevin Garnett too, which is the worst part about it. What's your level of buy-in to the Nets?
I'm in. Yeah, I've been kind of patiently, you know, observing and seeing what's going on. I think sometimes we try to complicate things and, you know, make things more challenging than they need to be. This is a dynamic trio of talent. Like, this, I mean, you don't get this kind of collection of talent often, and they have three incredible forces, offensive forces. And they don't even need – they won six in a row without Kevin Durant. And you know that when he comes back, they're going to be that much better. Now, do they have to things work out on the defensive end? Of course. So they probably need to add another big to solidify, you know, them if they go up against, say, you know, Anthony Davis in the finals or whatever. Sure. But I think right now the weaponry that they have, the arsenal that they have, as long as these guys are committed to, you know, trying to win, I don't see anything standing in their way, really, because I'm looking at the Eastern Conference landscape. The Sixers look fine. They look cool. But, you know, if it gets down to crunch time, who are the Sixers going to get the ball to? I mean, they're going to get the ball on Joel Embiid in the post. I mean, we haven't really seen a big man do that, you know, just all of a sudden just be your go-to guy in the last couple of seconds. That just doesn't happen. You need a perimeter guy, a guy who can take somebody off the dribble and then get to the basket. They have three guys who can do it. So is it going to be Milwaukee? I mean, we've already seen that their postseason failures, and they don't seem to have that same kind of fire they've had the last couple years. And so I just go down the list of all the teams in the East.
I'm with you. It's like everybody says they don't like them. Well, tell me who you do like. Speaking of one of those teams,
exactly.
Speaking of one of those teams, like what's going on with the Celtics?
Well, I think that, you know, they're missing Marcus Smart.
Yep.
you know, you talk about they have two all-stars now and they're under 500, but sometimes you need guys who help all-stars be great, and that's what Marcus Smart does. He takes the pressure off of those guys on the defensive end every night. He allows them to just focus on just getting their buckets, and he attacks the opposing team's best scorer every time, whether no matter how big or how small he is. He's the guy, he's that pit bull they just stick on everybody, and he just takes them out, and you can sort of see his value now to that team. And while, like I said, Tatum and Jaylen Brown are having incredible seasons, you always have to have that glue guy or that guy who's willing to do all the dirty work and it doesn't have any, you know, qualms about doing it. And they're missing that right now. They're missing that toughness. They're missing that edge. They're missing that guy who can, you know, really protect their stars and shield them from having to do all the stuff they may not be eager to do from the gate. And that's to me, I think, the most underrated part of their struggles is that, well, they're missing their most important player, right. Not their best player.
Their most important
Marcus
player.
Yeah,
it's a great point. Michael Lee, follow him on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee. The Washington Post does an amazing job. You should read his work. I sure as hell do. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure is all mine. It's Doug Gottlieb Show live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 888-FARMERS and you can save a whole lot of something on auto insurance.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, welcome in. It's Doug Gottlieb Show. You're on Fox Sports Radio, coming to you from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. And yeah, listen, we've been talking kind of all day about Tiger Woods, about the accident. And kind of as we talked a little bit about earlier this hour, you know, I've done this in my career several times over where I remember Rick Pitino won a national championship and I was at CBS. And all I said was, hey, considering all he went through off the court to be back winning a national championship, this is a pretty remarkable comeback, right? But what it was acknowledging that whatever you think of Rick Pitino, he did go through some stuff in the past, if you will, right? Some stuff. It's the whole story. We're all human beings. I have stuff that some of you like to point out. Anytime you don't like my opinion, you bring up something from 25 years ago. Like, oh, there's that new information. I didn't know it. But that's it's a fair part. You know, if you want to make a chapter of the book, okay. You don't just skip over things. Like we can't skim read Tiger Woods' life and career. He was a little itty bitty kid, and people told us he was going to be the greatest golfer ever. And you know what? He was. And along the way, he had some arrested development. Along the way, he developed some bad habits. And along the way, he started a path that ended his marriage and really changed how he viewed him. Now, part of it also was also on the way, we changed. We didn't used to care. There are other golfers, big name golfers, previous to him, who maybe didn't visit Perkins as much as he did, but it wasn't like everyone hasn't said what was going on, wink, wink, nod, nod, back in the day. There's been NBA players and NFL players and reputations well established, but you go back pre, really, Bill Clinton era, and boys will be boys. Your personal life was personal. We just care about the athlete. Now we care about everything. And then it became front page news, and obviously it changed how we looked at him. Plus, his body was so banged up that he's not going to get to 18 and to catch Jack. But there isn't any real comparison in terms of who's a more transcendent superstar, he or Jack. Jack was incredible, okay? But it was a country club sport. It still relatively is, but now you're competing against much more of the world and a much greater depth of athletes here stateside that found golf cool because Tiger Woods made it cool. Tiger Woods made it cool. So, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you, I think he's played his last round of golf. I said that yesterday. I look at him as the greatest golfer of all time. He made me pay attention to golf. I'd never paid attention to golf beforehand. I grew up in a huge sports household, and all of a sudden now, we cared about golf. And now he's gone, and it's a lot like the Jordan thing. When Jordan left the NBA, all of a sudden they were searching for the next stars, trying to force things down our throat, and it didn't work. And there was actually, I think that's when people found a little bit of bitterness towards it. And obviously that's when they started to change rules. Now we have a lot of likable stars. But if this is, in fact, his last professional round of golf, we don't see him anymore. To me, he goes down as the greatest golfer ever. I don't think Jack's even close because of all the other things. You know, race, depth of competition, level of dominance. I mean, look, 2013, which is a long time ago, but that was after the accident. He won more events on tour than anybody else. He just decided, hey, look, I'm not the majors. He wasn't really that competitive in, but those he absolutely was. The greatest iron player in the history of the sport. He's laying there in the hospital bed, and I just think this is part of the tale. This is part of the tale of the greatest golfer of all time. All right, let's bring in Dan Beyer. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Beyer, beware.
Doug, big news out of Pittsburgh today. You touched on this earlier, but Ben Roethlisberger will be back with the Steelers in 2021. That not necessarily from him, but from the team's owner, Art Rooney II, releasing a statement saying the two sides met and they'll work out his contract situation.
Well, when the owner says they're going to work it out, that means they're going to work it out, right? That's a good thing. We talked about this a little at the top of the hour. You know, he's going to have to take so much less money that they have three good wide receivers. They got to compete. You know, they need a new center, obviously losing Pouncey. And they got to fix that offensive line. And they're probably going to draft a quarterback. One would think. I don't think that Mason Rudolph's the guy and Dwayne Haskins is the guy. You know, Matt Canada can handpick his guy as the heir apparent. But to Big Ben, the two things he needs to do is, one, come back in great shape, and two, take a huge pay cut.
Doug, in a letter to season ticket holders, the New England Patriots say they are hopeful that they can have fans back at Gillette Stadium next year, maybe even possibly at full capacity.
I don't know if we're through it, but I think we are, and I think we're going to get to the place with the distribution of vaccine. Did you see the Johnson & Johnson one, which is a single shot one, was approved today for emergency use? But eventually we'll get to, there's enough of these companies that are investing. We're talking about into August and September. I think we'll be good by then, but I'm not an epidemiologist, so I don't know. We're all just hoping.
I love how Woody and Chris Johnson are from the Johnson & Johnson family. Like, you can make the jokes, but no, that is Johnson & Johnson, just longer down the family tree. All right, shifting gears to the NBA. All-Star Weekend going to be on March 7th, just that Sunday night. NBA announcing the second half of their schedule. We'll start March 10th, Doug, and we'll go to mid-May. They didn't make any alterations because they wanted to start the playoffs on time. It will end May 16th, the regular season will.
Makes sense. I mean, like, look, all this is for TV, right? We keep, it's all the almighty dollar. Yeah, that's where their revenue, they have no fans in the stands. That's where the revenue comes from. And, oh, yeah, this idea that, well, you know, we just tear up the TV contract and start over. TV companies are struggling, right? Do you think that they would rewrite the same deals? Of course not. You're not the NFL that is trying to double all their rights fees for everything. That's not the NBA where they are. They already doubled them last time around, actually tripled them, and I think it would be dialed back. So that's why they're doing the All-Star game. That's why they're trying to get more games in.
And finally, Doug, L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva says Tiger Woods won't face reckless driving charges stemming from yesterday's crash, calling it an accident. That's
well,
the press.
Well, I mean, I guess part of it says, you know, it's an accident. That's a good thing because there was nothing illicit involved. And however fast he was going, I guess they deemed it to not be reckless. I don't know what deems it as reckless drive. Like, if you roll a car a couple times and you're going too fast and you go over the center median and you're going the wrong way, like, isn't that by definition reckless? But I don't know. The biggest thing is it was an accident. Must have been in a hurry. Who among us has not? And unfortunately, it's probably cost him the remainder of his golf career. And that is the press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
All right, this is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What a great show. If you missed Daniel Jeremiah, he joined us earlier. He was outstanding. You missed Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe. She's covered Tiger Woods for years. We got her thoughts, her reaction, and her honesty in using her cell phone at a red light when she's in the car. And Michael Lee from the Washington Post covering the NBA. All of them joined us. Tomorrow, Brandon Whedon will join us. And Jovan Buha will join us. He covers the Lakers for The Athletic. We'll figure out when is Anthony Davis back. What about Dennis Schroeder? Are they going to ever sit LeBron James? Like, he's playing huge minutes, putting up huge numbers. But at some point in time, it would feel like he's kind of going to get worn down, wouldn't it? Now, you don't want that. Nobody wants that from LeBron James. We don't want to see him worn down. We don't want to see him injured. We definitely don't want to see him out for the playoffs. Right? Got to have him back. Got to have him healthy. That and... we'll start to give you some picks and some tidbits as we get you ready for March Madness in the NCAA tournament, and we'll continue to keep an eye on all this NFL stuff. I don't know. I knew yesterday Tiger would never play golf again. I'm really sad for him. But maybe it makes us view greatness in a different light. Even as flawed a human as at some point he became, did we appreciate it at the time? Was our need for another major, did that take away from when we actually watched him win majors? I don't know. I'm sure he's going to get better. I'm bummed he's probably not going to play golf again. He's still the greatest golfer of my lifetime. Maybe the second greatest athlete of my lifetime. That transcended. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Portions of the show are recorded. Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.